You know, when I came in 1992 to this city on assignment, and I said yes, I didn't know what to expect. I really came afraid, I'll be honest. I was afraid of failing. Starting a church and then failing and then going, well, I'm just another one of those pastors failing. I didn't want to do that, but I was encouraged greatly by a young man that had been in the entertainment industry, and he left it to serve the Lord in the inner city. So on Friday nights, I would go over to the Fortress, or actually to the Foundry. Yeah, and then we did lots of things in the Fortress. But we went to the Foundry, and I worshiped with them at the beginning of, I think, every Friday night. And now on Friday nights, they take a team down to the Broadway, and they preach and sing, and people get saved and delivered, and it's cool. But that's only just a thumbnail of all they're doing. These musicianaries are being trained at Harvest Sound, and this recent trip out west again to the Native Indian people there, and you know, around the world. We went to Cambodia once together, which was a real treat. But I don't know about a guy that works harder. And so I've got two prophetic drummers in my life, one being Carl Albrecht. But I've known this guy the longest, this prophetic drummer. Scott, would you come? Would you make him welcome? Scott McLeod and Harvest Sound. And today was awesome, Scott. Just what I expected.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Amen.
Wow, what a joy to be here with y'all. And Jerry, yeah, we go way back. And so how many people are grateful for Papa Jerry? I mean, you hold such a unique and consistent place in this city. Like, you're totally consistent. Like, I can count on you. Like, you're just there. Wherever the Holy Spirit's working, Papa Jerry, he just shows up. I always say he's been cloned. He's probably one of the first clones, because he's here, he's there. I mean, there was one time we were literally just driving down the streets of San Francisco, and we were in a van, and we're just going to our next outreach out in San Francisco, and I go, man, that guy looks just like Papa Jerry. And I was like, whoa, pull over, that is Jerry. You know, I was like, what are you doing out here, man? He's like, so he ends up jumping in the van with us and goes to our next place, just hanging out in San Francisco, right? Yeah, it was awesome. And but what a joy to be among friends and family. And James, man, what an amazing place you hold in this city, and really one of the founders of this group as well. And we just honor you. You're just so consistent and such a bright light. And we're so grateful. How many people are grateful for James Gall? Come on! Woo! We got to celebrate one another. I also have a dear friend, Mark Lancaster. Of course, we're in your house here. Thank you. And we've been walking together intentionally. I like using, I steal his word, intentional. Intentionally walking together. And it's been a great joy. Probably about, I don't know, met you maybe 12 years ago. I don't know how long, but at least 13. Yeah, and then we've been walking together really for the glory of God. Like, sometimes you just got to grab hold of someone and say, you know what, if we partnered together, if we stood together like a Jonathan and David, I think things could happen. I think we could take some giants out and get some victories for our king. And so we do that, don't we? Yeah, we try. And yeah, but this is a beautiful gathering. I was actually just thinking about, you know, WCA and Worship City Alliance and just what this place holds, what it means to the Lord, really just asking the Lord for some insight. And on the way here, I was just getting a picture of a lighthouse. And I'm going to talk to you today, just a vision that I've had, that I've carried and contend for many years, called Nashville, a City of Light. And the Lord was saying that this is like a lighthouse, but more concisely, more precisely, he said that WCA is like the light bulb in a lighthouse. And I felt like those who have been faithful, contending and intercession, standing in the gap, dreaming God's dreams over this city, it's like the light bulb. Like, how good would a lighthouse be without that bulb? You ever seen those bulbs? I've gone up in a couple of lighthouses out in Nova Scotia. My dad's side is from out there, so lighthouses are everywhere. And we go up and you see these. Sometimes they have the ancient bulbs, you know, that they used for 100 years back in, you know, from 1700 to 1800. There it is sitting there. And And there's just something about that bulb that makes it all happen, right? It's like that's the centerpiece. That's what gives the illumination that warns against the dangers and the shipwrecks that would surely happen without that light, that ever-present light burning and shining in such dark times and through the storms of our times. And I believe that you guys have been faithful with that. I had the privilege of helping steward a gathering before we changed the name, you know, the early days of this gathering. And so we've all had, I look at the city as a team. We all run different plays. You know, it's like, you got this one, you got that one. You know, it's like, and the more we think and live like that and not, you know, get caught up in jealousy and competition, but really be that team and cheer one another on, seeing, man, they're running that play. Go, go, man, you know. And you might be on the field at that moment. You might be on the sidelines. But that unity, that team-like together, everyone accomplishes much, right? And so I just believe that God is forging that. He's literally forging that. I want to give a shout-out to Taylor. He was here earlier. He's one of the main coordinators of the Send that's coming. He had to leave because he said homeschool stuff was calling him. But he was – Taylor Stutz. He was saying that it's such a privilege to come to Nashville. He says because it's so different than all the cities they've been serving. Now, you guys know they're coming February 2nd, so – put on your calendar the Bridgestone, a gathering, mobilizing, unity in the body of Christ, but for the sake of missions and activating the church, young and old. So get ready for that. But he was saying the other day we were over at that gathering at Plaza Mariachi, and that was remarkable, right? There's like close to 500 leaders. Like, it was just young and old and just, wow, God's on the move. There's momentum, you know. Momentum, they say, is a leader's best friend, as long as it's Holy Spirit momentum. But I think we got some Holy Spirit activity up in here that we can rejoice and ride this wave. So there's unity coming. And Taylor was saying just before that gathering, he was saying, man, I'm like nervous. I'm like, what are you nervous about? Because before, a couple months before that, he was like nervous, like, am I going to be able to gather anyone to this pastor's lunch? And, you know, is it going to work? And, you know, that feeling like, I hope people show up, you know. And when you got to fill something, you know, you can come under that anxiety of, I got to fill this, you know, arena or stadium or this or that. So I said, well, what are you nervous about? He said, I'm like nervous. Like, this is so much bigger than the Send. This is so much bigger than us. Like, I'm nervous, not for the sake of if our event's going to go well, and it's much more than an event. But he was like, I feel like I'm part of God's storyline. Like, God's moving in this city. He said, it's unusual. You know, so to much is given, much is required. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity. And mighty God, I just thank you for all the friends here, the remnant of faithful ones who are standing on the wall, standing in the gap, Lord. Lord, we just give you praise, Lord, for this city team and this family, Lord. And this is eternal family in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, we ask you for revelation, illumination as I communicate and as we process, Lord, what you're doing in such times, in particular in our city and our region, we pray, mighty God, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so sometimes I just get little words, you know, James, you know, just little clues, little things. But on the way in, I saw a billboard, and it was just said investments. And I felt like he said, you know, ask people about their investments, in particular about this city. You know, I believe that many here have been making investments, deposits into the destiny and the future of Nashville, but it's important to make the right investments, right? It can go right or wrong depending on what you're banking on, you know. And I just feel like the Lord's saying, keep making investments; it's going to pay off. You know, Marilyn, you've been investing for so long. You know, just diligent and sowing, Jason Ford. I mean, there's so many here. You guys are awesome. Heroes in the faith in our city. But these investments, they're going to pay off, everybody. They're going to pay off. Get ready. I'm getting excited just thinking about it. But we got to keep on keeping on, right? If we reap a harvest if we don't give up. And so Nashville, a city of light. So where did that come from? Because for many years, you know, we've we had the prophecy that, you know, Music City become Worship City, and I still believe that. We've seen a worship crescendo, believe me, from the early days. Worship wasn't even a thing back in the day when I showed up in 86. I came from Canada, and the music industry was all caught up in kind of being cool like that and looking like the world and slap a few Jesus lyrics on it, and we'll be good. You know, we're going to cross over, but we forgot to take the crossover. Rob Still, you know what I'm talking about. Come on. You know, we lived through that. We endured that, right? And then we found the Lord in worship. He really does inhabit the praises of his people. What a concept, you know? And then, so we've lived a beautiful crescendo of worship and presence. And so some years ago, I don't know, I'm just guessing at this point, about 15 years ago, I had a vision. We were worshiping in the old foundry there, contending for the city, as we've been known to do. And I felt like an out-of-body experience. And all of a sudden, I was out on Broadway. And I remember being out there, and the place was just packed. And if you know the early days of Nashville, it was almost like a bit of a ghost town. It was kind of embarrassing. It was like, yeah, this is Music City. Like, we really don't play much music here. We really don't come downtown, and we need a lot of repair down here. It was very strange, you know. Music City, that all the musicians were just in the studios making music back then. But now things have changed. And in this vision, I felt like I had a foreshadowing of what was coming. And in the vision, Broadway was just packed, people from all over the world. And I remember there was such favor on the city, just favor. This was 15 years ago. And people were just like going, "Whoa, I love this city." Like this is the, you know, just, they were just so thrilled to be in Nashville. I love Nashville. I get that everywhere I go. I just say, "Well, I'm from Nashville." It's like, it's kind of fun. Like, yeah, I'm from Nashville, you know. And I'm like, "Oh, I love that place." You know, it's like, yeah, I know. I knew you'd say that, you know. You got to enjoy the favor while you got it, right? Might as well enjoy it. But I was seeing this, and in this vision, not only was there favor and the place was packed out with tourists and people everywhere, kind of like it is now, but it was also clean. It was pristine. There was an environment, and people were like, "What is this? Like, what?" Like, they were trying to figure out why they love it so much. And I was able to say in this dream, it's the presence of God. They're like, "Really? That's so cool. Really?" Like, and they're like, "This, you know." And it was like, now we got some work to do, because if you've been downtown recently, things have kind of shifted another direction. But God's not afraid of that. You know, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Where there's sin, I mean, those are the best fishing holes. That's the best spot to go, right? You know, in the broken places, the addicted, the afflicted, that's where the best fishing is. That's where the harvest is, I've learned over the years. And so, but in the end of this vision, I'm just seeing all this, and I'm like, wow, and it felt so real, so tangible, so like we're really going there. And I said, "What was that, God? That was so cool." And it said Nashville, like it just scrolled along the bottom of the vision, like a little movie, Nashville, a city of light. And since then, I kind of redirected my sights to, Lord, this is the theme that, at least for us, is it said Nashville, a city of light, to be a shining city on a hill, and be a beacon of light, a lighthouse, if you will, for our nation. And then we've heard for years that this would be a city of refuge, and that people would come and look at what's happening. I mean, you meet people from everywhere, leaving places of distress where things are imploding and coming here. And so we're in an unusual time, but I want to suggest to you also, I think a lot of our future is still dangling in the balance, is up for grabs with all this incoming. And we, as gatekeepers in this city, we need to be on guard. We need to be aware, awake, and doing our part, because I believe surely the city of light will appear with full strength in our lifetime. We're going to see it. We're going to live that. But we have a work to do together to get there, amen? And to hold the ground that God's given us. There's so many good people, like highest per capita of churches of any city in North America. We got musicians everywhere. We got creative folks. We got kingdom resources. If we can't tip this thing over in this city, we're in trouble. I mean, we are packed with potential. And so I believe God's going to give revelation even this morning. I'm praying and believing for that. Some strategies, some steps that we can do, and we can do together, and we keep on doing. Some of it you guys have already been doing and contending so well. So The Lord was just speaking to me about just the very, very concept of light, the city of light. And, you know, that we are, you know, the light of the world. Jesus handed that to his disciples. First, he said, I'm the light of the world. Then he hands the torch to them, said, now you're the light of the world. You know, John the Baptist was a burning, shining one in his generation. And so, you know, but I just recently saw a little video where it showed actually, you know, a microscopic view, but you see literally when sperm enters the egg. Have you ever seen this? The moment of conception, okay, for us guys, as humans, you know, it's extraordinary. There's an explosion of light. Like literally when that gets out, like explosion of light. Life is light. Light is life. And how much more so when we're born again, when that spirit man is vivified, comes alive in Christ Jesus, right? That explosion. How many of you guys have felt that explosion from darkness to light? Wow. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to never forget that we must be born again. You know, a lot of people, and I believe me, the Lord's made me get more and more involved in politics and be aware and be a voice and try to, you know, not sleep through this thing. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, you know, people aren't going to vote straight, let alone think straight, if they're not born again. So we got to get people born again. That's still the main thing, is to keep the main thing. You're right? And go and make disciples. And so the mission of the church is paramount. It's essential. It's really the saving grace of this nation when we dangle in the balance right now. It's like we have to see people receiving Jesus, being born again, going from darkness to light. Amen? And so God's going to give us more and more ways and strategies and ways to do such a movement in this city. And that's why I you know, celebrate the send coming to town. If we get behind that and we stand with those brothers, they're some of the greatest equippers and mobilizers of missions. And we need it local and we need it global, right? I mean, Dave Clayton said one time, about a year ago, he had a dream of a missionary for every street or every neighborhood. And I'm like, absolutely, that's it, man. Come on, we're gonna get there somehow. You know, we're gonna. It's just awakening the church. We have a mammoth church. We got a mega church here. We really do. We got a megaphone, and we have to use it for God's glory. Okay, so a couple things here. Yeah, now you know that, you know, probably some of you heard, but FEMA is doing a warning signal today at 1:20, I think, at our time. And a lot of people, you know, a little suspect of that. You know, the government hasn't necessarily proved itself truthful or in the recent days. So some people, if you try and call me at that time, you may or may not get me. I might be just turning it off, right? Some of you guys have researched that. You know, it's so funny how back in the day, you know, people would research, and what we used to call that being well-read. You know, that was a good thing back when I grew up, right? That was good, man. They're well read. They, you know, they, now it's like, man, you're a conspiracy. There, you know, censor that, snuff that out. How dare you read for yourself and just figure out what's going on and use your own discernment, your own thought. I mean, I want to suggest you read, research, understand, be aware, be awake, see to it that no one deceives you. That's on you. That's on us. By Jesus, talking about the end times. Y'all getting that? And so this warning signal, but the Lord spoke to me. He said he's got his own warning signal. And it talks about, you know, in 2 Corinthians 14, verse 8, it says, again, if a trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? And we need to be a people, a clear sound, a distinction coming from the church. What is the message that comes from the church? Is it clear? Is it snuffed out? Is it random? And those who profess the name of Jesus, at least the remnant, the remnant has to come together with a clear sound so that many will rally, many will come. Without that distinction, you know, we're not going anywhere quick, you know, and it's not looking good. I mean, the destination right now of our nation, without the intervention of the Church of Jesus Christ standing up and being who she's called to be, with a clear trumpet call, rallying the young generation, rallying the old generation, bringing those in who are yet to receive Jesus, that those who must be born again, right? And so for years we've dreamed from the very beginning when I left the music industry and took as Papa sorry, I was going to say Finto, but Don, Jerry, there we go, sorry. As he was referring to in the early days, left the music industry and started serving the poor. But it was much more than that. I mean, that was such a privilege. We love that. We know that that's God's heart. But right from the get-go, the Lord began to speak to us about Nehemiah. And I was like, well, if I'm going to leave my career and what I've, you know, semi-idolatry, that's probably a good thing to leave, right? You know, what I love most, then I'm a free agent now. And I'm just like, I want to be all in. I don't want to just play church. I mean, I wrestle with God like, Lord, anything but a church. I don't want to be a church. No, please, no, no, please. And then he showed me the scripture. That's how I roll. Okay, I'll get on the same page with Father God. And I'm so grateful I did. But I remember thinking, I want to be on the winning team. Like, I don't want to just, you know, we're not winning cities. And we're not, like, where is the, you know? And so I was wrestling with God through that. And the Lord began to speak to us about the city, about a Nehemiah, like we need that we were to dream about the whole city right from the get-go. Like, big deal if my ministry is doing good and the city's going to hell. Are you happy with that? Are we, will we settle with that? Like, well, my offering's up, I got enough people, we're making it through. You know, we got to think bigger than that. We got to think kingdom. See, the big difference between those who are building a kingdom and the kingdom, big difference. You can feel it. You can walk into a place. That's why I love being here with Mark, and because he's kingdom. I mean, he's dreaming the whole city, right? You know, this is just a staging point, right? This community right here is where we launched stuff from, and you know, but we're dreaming for the whole enchilada, right? And so Nehemiah, I was just suggesting to you, is a blueprint we got to go back to. We got to fight as families. We got to build as families. With a hammer and a sword, and every congregation, if we can get them lined up doing their part, and then you bump up against the ones, hey, I'm building right beside you. This is cool. Like Dave Clayton and Ethos just moved in on Clinton Street. They're right beside us now. You know, it's so it could be physical, it could be just we connect together spiritually in a certain way. But you start to bless everyone who's building the city together. The guys on the other side. Phil Dillingham on the east side. Hey, man, you're over there building. I see you. Right? And it's like, but we bless everyone and we're all in it together. And when one is attacked, remember the strategy? When they sound a trumpet, clear trumpet, go, we got a battle going on. We got a breach up in here. And we rally together and we fight as brothers, as family. Woo, come on, someone. Could that still be a strategy? I believe that's partly why we're getting some leverage in Nashville, where people come in and go, man, there's something different going on here. How are you getting this leverage or momentum, and what's happening? Well, I believe some of this DNA has been starting to stick, but we got to keep going. Amen. We got to keep growing. Thank you, Jesus. So the Lord has spoke to us for years. One of our mantras, one of our themes over the years has been Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Have we seen the enemy come in? Man, I mean, look at our nation. I mean, there's stuff happening that we wouldn't have even dreamed about. We wouldn't even dream the kind of stuff that's going down. Like, you make your head spin, like, what? You know? And so the only thing that needs to happen now is God wants to raise up a standard against the darkness and the deception of our times. Amen. The corruption, right? The communism, I'll just say it. I mean, the kind of stuff that's going down on our watch. Unthinkable. And yet seeds have been sown decades ago that are now harvesting. They're coming forward. And God has a resistance in the earth. And we know, you know, you read the end of the book, we know ultimate total control is the Antichrist plan. We know that, right? It's not hard to figure out. It's not rocket science. And you can see the apparatus of all of that. Total control, digital control on every level is being built all around us. So what do we do? Well, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So the Lord spoke to me something about Noah. You know, you can go in there and you can look at him, the Nephilim and the darkness and the wickedness. And we got tons of people in the church dissecting the darkness right now. And that's good. It's good to be aware of what's happening. You know, so, but I'm more under the impression that we need to not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, what's the good that Noah did? He finished the job. He got it done. He could have got overwhelmed by the darkness and go, oh my goodness, do you know what's going on? Do you know about the human genetic modification that's going on right now? And, you know, it's like, yeah, whoa, we could all get spooked and paralyzed and run for a bunker and count bullets and beans, you know? Or We continue building what God told us to build. Build the ark. You know? Make it watertight. Get it done. Get it done right. What has God called you to do? I want to be found building to that very day, whether I get raptured or you know, whatever it looks like. I want to be found faithful to that moment. I don't want to freak out just because of the darkness of our times. I want to be busy devising goodness that will outweigh the darkness. I believe this is a city of light. I believe this is a city of refuge. And it's all about the quality of the church. That's what's going to literally define if we fulfill that mandate and that standard. Woo! Come on, someone. So a lot of times we can get freaked out by it, but I want to suggest to you that sometimes it's so simple. It's like staring us in the face the whole time. And I remember one time back in the day when we were contending for one community, Joe Johnson community. Praise be to God, it's been transformed. No more drug corner. Just blows me away. Every time I drive through, I'm still like, am I living a dream? Like, this actually worked. How did this happen? You know, and glory be to God. And thanks be to thousands of volunteers and people that sewed into it, were part of it over the years. But, you know, there was a time when the Lord had given me just a vision. We were in the fortress. And which is now a distillery. It's kind of awkward, but that was our big church warehouse across the street. But I was in there, and I have this vision, and it's like looks like lightning going through the streets, just kind of ricocheting from one street to the other, just went all across the city. It was like golden light just going through the city, and it was like an explosion in my spirit. I was like, wow, yeah, like and. And I was like, Lord, what is that? He said, that's the glory of the Lord coming to the streets. I was like, yes, I love that. I was like, ooh, yeah, glory of the Lord. That's what I'm talking about, right? So and so I go out there, and right as I go out on the street, there's this older man, a black man, and he'd been sitting there for years. I knew him, you know, he knew me, and, you know, he had pretty weathered look, you know, been alcohol and addictions most of his life. But he was a good guy, and you know. But I was so excited about this, this vision I had. I came up to him, and I said, "Man, do you know that the glory of God's coming to the streets?" I said, "Look around. You know, you got prostitution. You got all kinds of issues. You know." And he's sitting there looking at me. He's like, and I thought for a second. I thought, "Oh, you know, why am I telling him this? I mean, like the glory is kind of, you know, church language. The glory of the Lord is coming to the streets." And then I said, well, because I could see his wheels were spinning. I was like, do you believe it? So I said to him, right? And so he just thinks a little more. He's just sitting there. He's chewing something. Like, and he goes, yeah, I do, if God's people come. It's not always rocket science. And so I was just like, I knew that God spoke through that older gentleman. And I just believe that, like, God wants us activated, mobilized. You know, no, doesn't matter if you're Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, what generation we're in. I remember Bob Jones used to tell us, I remember one time I was like the young guy. I was like around 30, and there was all these older guys sitting around Bob. And I would like literally sit at his feet. I would like sit down. Everyone else was in chairs. I would like sit right there. And I was just trying to catch stuff, right? Glean. I remember one time he was just talking about there's a move of God coming. And the young generation's going to go to the wilderness, to the fields, to the mountains. And he was basically saying, you know, when you see this happening, you know what you need to do? And here's all these older guys, mostly pastors and stuff, sitting around. I was like, when you see that happen, when you see the young generation mobilizing and moving towards God, you know what you do? Everyone's waiting for the big strategy, right? Buy the hot dogs. You know, bring the generator. You know, get behind it when you see that. And I want to suggest to you that we have a role. Doesn't matter what generation we're in. There's a role when you see. Remember Henry Blackaby? Just find out where God's working and just join him. You know, just don't miss out on those moments. You know, that's why Papa Jerry is like, he just keeps showing up, right? He finds out where God's working. It's amazing. And so I really believe the Lord's just calling us to, there's a simplicity of following the voice, you know, follow me, as he said to his disciples, and it worked. Those guys that followed Jesus, those fishermen, uneducated men, they turned the world upside down. Whoa. It's amazing, profound faith we have for those who follow Jesus and the anointing that follows us as we follow him. So I want to just spell out a quick acronym to you guys on the word light, because the Lord said Nashville, city of light. Can we do that? So just start with L. So you might have guessed it. L is love. Love. You know, sometimes we can talk about it so much that we underestimate the power of love. But, you know, there's a passage that actually was a big part of starting that family reunion. I hope you all can make it to the family reunion. It's a special time. And I feel like there's like a fresh wind blowing momentum on the 21st. But the scripture the Lord gave me in regards to that, he said, it was just Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, keep on loving each other as brothers. So there was a standard of family, of brotherhood, of sisterhood, right? He said that keep on loving. It's one thing, just keep on loving each other. No. Well, he says, no, as brothers, like to see one another as family, like really like celebrate one another. I remember one time Santana, the famous guitar player, right? Do you guys remember this? There was a story. It was an amazing story. I remember I ended up crying watching this story. And he had this percussionist, this drummer, that he played with him in the early years, the big years of the 70s and Woodstock and all that stuff, right? And so somehow this guy just disappeared through addiction and stuff. And he ended up going to prison and all this stuff. And finally, he finds, I forget the name of the drummer, but he finds out that this guy is back out of prison. He's on the streets, and someone tells him where he's located in L.A. And so Santana, he goes, and he sees him, and I wish I remember his name, but he said, my brother. And he sees him, and the percussionist, he looks up, and he sees, you know, his friend from decades ago, probably long forgotten, like he lived a different life, right? And they embrace one another. And Santana, he just kept saying, I cherish you. Whew. Come on, Scott. Come on. I cherish you, my brother. I cherish you. And I was thinking, man, if God can do that through a couple old rock and rollers from the 70s, that kind of love, that kind of brotherhood, you know, and they helped him out. They got him off the streets, and there's this whole story that happens with that. But, you know, I just believe that we have an opportunity to cherish one another, to protect one another, to know one another, and be an example that people can follow. You know, Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. You know, some people just, I don't really want people following me. I'm not sure. I got some issues. You know, no, we got to get over that. I mean, one of the biggest things the Lord showed me why the light has been diminished is shame in the body of Christ. Why we're not quite getting it. Why we're not the light that's not breaking through the darkness. It's shame that just keeps coming on us. And the Lord comes along and he says, no, you don't understand. You're perfect. You're blameless. I bought you. Your spirit man is radiant and seated with him. Yeah, we fight with the old man, the man of sin. That's why he must die daily, so the spirit man can thrive and come alive and outshine anything else. But there's something, I'll tell you another story that really touched me. I saw this young man, some of you guys might have seen it, but it was like maybe a 12-year-old boy, and he had died, and it was in the doctor setting with a surgery or something happened, and he literally flatlined and went out, came back. And here it's a video of him talking to his mom of what he saw, okay? And so he's telling his mom all this deep stuff. His mom's just crying. He said, Mom, you know, Jesus, I met Jesus. I saw him. And he said to tell you that, you know, all the things that you went through when you were young, it's made you who you are today. It's for a reason. It's why you're so beautiful. And so he's saying all this, and then he said, whew. And then he said, and then Jesus looked at me, and he said, you're perfect. You're perfect. He said, Mom, he said I was perfect. I just believe God wants to encourage us that He's done so much. His blood has got the victory. He's got you. The shame, the blame, and all the things that psych us out and disqualify us and make us diminish our light, you know. I think God wants that brilliance that we start shining, that spirit man that's blameless before him, justified, already justified, can shine forth. So love, God loved us so much, he did all that for us. So that's the first part. We got to let the love in. We got to let the light shine. We got to light shine. We got a new commandment I give to you, the 11th commandment, I call it. Jesus said, now love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Man, what a commandment. Woo, come on. All men. Talk about evangelism, right? So we can't allow our love to be diminished through disappointments and wounds and hurts. And we got to keep on loving. We got to keep carrying that cross and keep pressing in, being devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt of loving one another. Serve one another in love. So this is the first part of the light that's going to shine. I'll move on for the sake of time. Next part of the acronym, I, and on honor of Mark Lancaster, intentional. We have to be intentional. It means being deliberate, being calculated. Like no more just random waste of time and just getting caught up in how many hours on our phone and you know, all these things. We have to be intentional in the way we steward our life, our times, and what's priority. Intentionally fighting for the unity of the church and putting out all the fires of slander and things that, you know, suspicion and things that cut in on us. And Ephesians says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We're to be wise, and that wise translates into making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. The darkness is coming. We got to work while we have the light, right? As long as we have the light, let's keep doing the work. And so making the most of every opportunity. And when you see kingdom opportunities, you know, don't shrink back for it. You know, and that'll lead you to the next one. I'll go quickly over that one. But being intentional, being deliberate, being calculated for the kingdom. Like, this is my priority. This is what I told the Lord I would do. This is my place on the wall. I'm going to be faithful there. You know? Ori was such a blessing to me. He just called me up because I was preaching. I was like, I don't know if I can. I was like, I'll just do a box, you know, a cajon box. And he calls me up and says, you know, and Terry, these gentlemen that just serve so well, and said, man, I got a whole drum set. I've renovated it and got it together. You know, all you got to do is show up and smile. I'm like, so here I am. I was like, wow, that's a good deal. Okay, we'll do it. We'll bring the whole band. You know, it was just like, it just shifted it. But it was his passion, his attention to detail, his servant-heartedness. He was intentional, right? Like, if God's given you an area on the wall, I mean, make it the best part of the wall. Like, I built that part of the wall. Yeah, that's right. With the help of the Holy Spirit and all my family. But, you know. We got to take pride in the things God's given us to do it. Do it with excellence. Amen? And so the next one is G. And it's go. Go for it. Yeah. Go for it. When you see God moving, join him. When you see him moving in a young generation, join him. When you see someone alone and shut away in a nursing home or something, join him. Jesus is doing so many brilliant things, and there are invitations for us constantly. Amen? And there's a scripture I think we don't talk about enough. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Sins of omission. Like, oh, should have done that. Could have had a V8. Should have done. Well, could have, should have. I don't want to be standing before Jesus with a whole bunch of could have, should have's when I had power to do something to make a difference. And who deserves it? I owe it to you to love you. That's the only debt I have, is to keep on loving. Amen? Especially those in the household of faith. Doing good to those. And so, Lord, help us, Lord. And then, so this, go for it. We have to keep this all the days of our life. I just believe if you say, Lord, it doesn't matter what age I am, I want that fire to keep going. And God will give it to you. And I remember one time we had a retreat with Bill Johnson. And he was one of the biggest things that stuck out to me. I think someone had asked him about, you know, how he got, maybe it's just a general question, like how he got where he is or what's happening at Bethel or something like that. But he said, one of the things he said, you might remember this, he said, when you see the breakthrough, run for it. when you see that crack, when you see that opening, just like football, like, you know, Derrick Henry, like, bam, hit, how many times he hit the wall before he finally, then finally that opening, and like, he's gone, right? You, if you can see that crack, you don't know, some days you just hit the wall. Faithfully hit the wall. Rob, you ever hit the wall? I hit the wall all the time, you know. Every day, you know. But they're still being faithful, just hitting the, just hammer time, you know. Boom, boom. They're going to, one of those times, it's going to crack open. One of these times, this city's going to crack, y'all. And God's just looking for the remnant to run through. So, and I remember Bill said that. He said, he goes, there was a time when the Holy Spirit showed up in an unusual way in our congregation. And there was all this pressure, you know, elders and this and that, controversy, you know, Holy Spirit. and he goes, I kind of shut it down. And then I felt grieved, and he said, and I told the Lord, if I ever get another crack at it, if I ever see that again, if you'll give me another shot, we're going, and we're going full steam ahead. Woo, come on, someone. I'm looking for the crack, and I think some things are cracking around here. Get ready, get ready. You know, we had a intentional friendships with, we call it the Go Team, just a bunch of, you know, leaders and friends that have been walking together, but we said, you know, after a while, we just got tired of saying, you know those guys I hang out with and we kind of meet every once in a while and da-da-da and try to do city things, try to devise goodness and stuff like that. Finally, we're like, man, we need a name. I'm so tired of doing a whole paragraph just trying to... So the Lord just dropped it on me, Go Team, and it stands for God Objectives. Together, everyone accomplishes much. Right? That's all it is. God gives us an objective. Let's go as a team. Hammer time. Let's do this, right? And I want to suggest to you, everybody needs a Go Team. You got to find your peeps. Where's my platoon? Where are my guys, my band of brothers that I can, come on, we can do this together. Because when we're isolated, man, it's just not much happens, right? I remember a long time ago, the Lord told me the problem in my church is insulated, isolated, and constipated. I was like, ooh, I won't go there. That's another whole message. But but we're changing. Things are getting better, guys. I really believe we're seeing progress. We're seeing the momentum of the Spirit coming upon our city, our region. So the next one, we're almost done. Acronym for light. Then I'll be finished. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the next one is holiness. H for holiness. So just that whole concept of holiness, you know, we've heard the holy rollers, the teachers over the years, and some people love it, some people don't like, you know, some people are attracted to it, some people are like, oh, no, not that again, rules, regulations, you know, the whole thing. However it sits with you, it still is God's standard. And be holy, be set apart. And so the question is, what sets you apart? You know, what makes you be looking like Jesus rather than looking like the world? Do you know? I get concerned sometimes. I mean, the worship movement was amazing, but not so long into it, you start hearing all these stories of all these young, gifted guys, you know, bless all of them, help all of them. But man, the things of the world were being partaken of. I won't get into all of what it is, but just doing the stuff the world does to the point it catches up to you, and all of a sudden you're losing your faith, you're a psychologist, you're at an addiction clinic, you're losing your family, all these things. Man, the devil can cut in on any of us, no matter how gifted we are. We have to be set apart. We have to have certain standards. You know, how many times have you heard the standard Billy Graham had? You know, we hear it over and over because we finally found a guy that had a standard where it actually worked and we can point to where he didn't go anywhere, you know, to be alone with a woman. He always brought someone with him, right? And so find some of those safety standards in the kingdom and camp out there. You know, set boundaries, healthy boundaries, boundaries in pleasant places. Be exceptional, be extraordinary, right? What's that extra? What sets you apart, you know? Besides Christ Jesus himself and the blood of the Lamb, but there's some things, some distinctions. Remember, in Old Testament, somewhere back there, it says, remember how God wanted to show a distinction between Israel and Egypt. And that's still the same of the church today. There needs to be a distinction. We need to be set apart. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Therefore, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Woo, come on, someone. Be holy as I am holy. Be holy because I am holy. I mean, this standard isn't moving for anyone. We either rise to the occasion and say, Lord, that's a tall order, but I'm going there somehow, me and all my friends and family. We're going. As far as me and my household, we will serve the Lord and we will walk in holiness and we'll help each other. I remember my son, he was with a group of influencers. He gets invited to all these Gen Z type things. My son's name is Daniel. And so he's there and they asked him, kind of out of the blue, they just said something like, well, so what'd you all talk? They broke into small groups. So what'd you all talk about? And somehow he talked about the Proverbs. I'm kind of forgetting the scripture. It was something about that, you know, beer or alcohol is for the poor, for those who are suffering, but not for kings, right? And so he's like, well, I figured, you know, we're supposed to be leaders and, you know, influencers of our generation. And he goes, so we start talking about that. We start talking about, does that apply to us? Are we set apart? Are we, you know, and so he just asked Daniel that one question, like, what'd you all talk about? He said, well, we talked about this scripture, da, 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 in a small group over on the side. Well, it pretty much blew up the meeting. Like, literally, like, the whole place was in an uproar. Like alcohol, is it good? Is it bad? Da, 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 da. And it was just like, I'm telling you guys, we need to be Daniels, okay? We need to err on holiness, being set apart. I'm not here to say drink, don't drink. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, what is it that gives you distinction and gives you holiness, where people go, I mean, I love that about Dave Clayton. He's got one little distinction. He's got a bunch of them. He's a great, fabulous friend of ours in the city. But he has this little flip phone. You ever seen him with his flip phone? You're like, dude, put that thing away. It's a dinosaur. What are you doing? He goes, the Lord told me if I got a what do you call it, smartphone that make us dumb, right? He said, my kids would hardly see my face. So I just use this little old flip phone. You know, what is it that sets us apart where we get that nudge of the Holy Spirit and it gives us a distinction, it gives us an edge, a cutting edge. We need it in such times. Amen? Woo! I'm getting happy up in here. Do you guys like being different? I mean, I know dare to be different, dare to be a Daniel, and you know, but for the glory of God, not for the sake of bringing attention to yourself, but like we need to be a peculiar people eager to do good works. Right? Both peculiar and eager to do good works, not one without the other. Some people are like, I'm just peculiar, you know. Well, where are the good works that come with that, you know? So we could go on and on. There's so many brilliant scriptures about holiness, right? I mean, even down to like the destroying of the heavens and the earth and all the elements and everything we've ever seen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way at the end of the age and the last days, what kind of people ought we to be? A very important question we should ask in the light of all that coming upon the earth. It says we ought to live holy and godly lives. He doesn't say run for the hills. He doesn't say stop doing the work. He says, in light of all of that that's coming on mankind, which is unthinkable, really, and what's coming upon the earth and the darkness that will come at the end of the age, he says, what ought we to do? We ought to live holy and godly lives. And then the last acronym, truth for light, how to be a city of light. And so we without truth, the light of the truth, you know, we're not going to get very far. You can see the truth is under attack, is an onslaught against truth, you know. The censorships, the one narrative, everything that's being pushed. And the Antichrist spirit directly against the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Bible, the word of God. And here's the bottom line. Are we willing to die for the Bible? Amen. For the word of God? For devotion to Jesus? We might as well settle that right now. We can settle it right now. Are we all ready? I'm just like, you know, like no, we need to be thinking like that. We need to ponder death. Everyone's going to die anyway, so why not make it a good one? You know, some people just suffer meaningless death. Like, okay, well, they just, you know, had a hemorrage and something, and da da da. Or you have a life that's like, ugh, I'm living for Jesus, and I've resolved by life or by death, I will advance this gospel. That's for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. It's even better. I'm out of here, and I'm face to face with my lover. Does this make sense? And so this truth, I mean, this is worth dying for. Jesus died for it. The apostles died for it to bring the truth of the gospel. You know, speaking the truth in love, we're not even going to mature into the fullness of Christ without speaking the truth in love and maturing into who we're called to be. You know, healthy, holy confrontations and conversations and all this stuff. sharing the truth, being sanctified by the truth. Your word is truth, mighty God. And so I do believe also, just to shout out to all the leaders and pastors, we got to speak the truth. I think the churches and leaders that aren't speaking the truth and applying it to society, applying it to what's actually happening, are doing a disservice. You talk about misinformation. Well, there's a lot of missing information in the church where our people are not being equipped for the end times. They're not being equipped for what's coming. You know, they're not going to have the patient endurance of the saints that is required. And so we have to equip people. And if we're not telling them what's really happening because, well, I don't want to rock the boat, you know, my offering could go down or that could be controversial. I mean, I'm just telling you, we're going to talk to Jesus about all that as leaders. And we're either bringing them a good dose of truth and love in the full measure. Why not give them all as best we can? We only see in part. We only see in part. Amen. But we give our part to the best we can without fear, without mixture. And so the Lord convicted me. He said that we have to be a people that are ready to die for Jesus, especially leaders. Can I say that in a meeting like this? Is there still unity when I say that? I don't know. You know, I mean, we might as well resolve it, right? We're whipped by life or by death. Yes, I'm all in. I'm all in. That's when the anointing, that's when the fire, that's when the city-changing people rise to the occasion. Not in my city. You will not do this. You know, you shall not pass. Yeah. Come on. And so I just want to... And we have to have a good time doing it too, guys. There's nothing more fun and exciting than following the real Jesus with all of our heart, getting all those adventures and stories. I always tell people, man, you can have stories to tell your grandkids. You know, I'm still waiting for grandkids. Yeah. They haven't come yet. They're on their way. That's what I'm saying. It's like I went too far down the road. Tell your son-in-law. I'm waiting for son-in-law, daughter-in-law, tell them. But let's pray. I just kind of dropped a lot on you, but hopefully it's helpful. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this great city, Lord. We love greater Nashville, this whole region. Lord, there's so many people coming in here. Lord, it's mind-boggling, the amount of people and the amount of gifted people and ministries. And Lord, would you make sense of it all? Would you help us, Lord, the old wine, the new wine, blend us together? Lord, I'll kind of talk to you as I'm praying, but recently I also saw a picture as I was pondering the vast amount of people moving here from everywhere. And the vision I had was, it was almost like the Cumberland, but it was filled with like those logging camps. It was filled with all those logs, right? And then there was a log jam, and all it takes is a few that are twisted the wrong way, and it stops up the whole flow. And so, Lord, we pray that all these individuals and ministries and people are coming, that you give us a flow, how we can flow together, mighty God, and glorify you, Lord, that nothing will get stopped up, jammed up, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just bless you now. We seal this word. We thank you. Bless my friends in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, what a powerful, powerful word. There was something that was just imparted into every one of us. I tell you what, just Scott, what he carries, he is contagious. I remember I was a youth pastor for 13 years. I was up in Hendersonville in Sumner County. And it was around 2008, 2009, I got introduced to the Foundry and I started taking the youth there to the Friday night fire, which still is going on. And I noticed that there was something that they carried there. See, being a youth pastor and doing ministry in the suburbs, it felt like a 1970s Cadillac that where I was driving the vehicle from the back seat. It's like the steering wheel went all the way to the back seat. And everything that was happening in life, as you were taking corners, is everything was happening way out here. I would go down to the Foundry, and I would listen to Scott and the students that they were pouring into. And I'm telling you, they lived on the front bumper of that car. I could not get past that. It was like this awakening. It was contagious. I had no idea at the time that just a few years later, we would sell our house and move. I lived three streets over. What it is that they imparted, just this heart, this passion for the city. It wasn't, hey, I'm going to dip into the city six times a year when I decide to go downtown and eat. It was like, no, he injected himself. You cannot love what you don't behold. And when you inject yourself into a place, when you allow yourself to take it in, it consumes you. And so I just honor you, Scott. If I can just bless him, just Father God, Lord, I just thank you for Scott and Sarah and Harvest Sound, the foundry, their ministry. Lord, I thank you for what was just imparted into every one of us. Lord, I thank you for these seeds that were just thrown around this place that are going to bring forth a harvest. Lord, that fruit will be developed. And God, I thank you that as leaders, we will steward those seeds that were just injected into us. Lord, that we would not pass off, that we would not pacify the urgency of the word that was just released into us. Yeah. So, Father, we just bless them and honor them. Honor this mighty man of God and what it is that he carries for the generations for your glory.
Amen. Scott. First of all, just listening to you today, you know, we've known you over the years, and it's like, that's like two people in one, like you're a father and a son at the same time, like a father and a teenager, like you have this real youth, there's a youth, you're somebody else. No, I bless you. But I wanted to thank you publicly, because you... Remember, you know, we were connected with Kim Clement. He kept saying, we would honor him in the city, and we would look for a building, and he kept saying, no, that's not the right one. And the fortress came. That was his most favorite place that he had ever been in the United States. You remember those meetings? And just, he had never been in a, and I think you're anointing on that property. But I just want to give you one word here. And it says in Isaiah 54:13, and he's talking about seed, said, all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. I have to bring the Hebrew in here, because children is benaim, and that word is also, in Hebrew, same letters, is builders. And you're a builder. So I want to say, all your builders shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the shalom of your builders. And that is going to be your... that's going to be a mark on those that you mentor and that are part of you and in the city, but the peace, the shalom that rests upon you to do what you've got to do. You have to have peace. So I just bless you. We all love you. You are a light in Nashville. Thank you. Amen. Do you receive that?
Amen. I receive it.
So you're a builder. Amen. And there's Nehemiah hidden in there.
Thank you.
You know you're one of my favorite people, Scott. I was driving in, and I saw you with a shovel, and you were digging in the ground. And I heard the Lord say, dig deeper. And then I heard the word pay dirt. And when I heard the word pay dirt, I saw that as you dug, I saw the river of revival that's under the city of Nashville. I was praying years ago at Henpeck. And I heard the Lord say there was a river of revival under the city with a flow and an ebb. And then the next thing I heard was that you're to have a national gathering here in Nashville. And with that, the Lord said he would increase your anointing. He would quadruple your anointing when you have this gathering. And then I heard Psalm 144, which is teach my hands to war, my fingers to fight. So I'm saying that you're going to have to fight for this. But it's very significant. It's like a marker in your life with the Lord, this national meeting. And I'm not talking about the sin. This is something else, because you carry so much. You are that lighthouse in our city. And the Lord wants to shine that across the nation, which you already do, but I think there will be such an increase if you will pick this national meeting up and do it. It seems like there was one other thing. I guess that was it. Yeah. So, oh, I know. I was going to do it. Lord, I ask that you would give Scott revelation, first of all, that you would have the fullness of the revelation of this, and that the Lord would give you strategy. He would give you understanding. He would give you the intercessors to make this event happen. And I think you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to do deeper and further than you've ever done before to bring this into being, but it will be so worth it, so worth it. And your sound will go around the world when it quadruples.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, I'm always marvel at, you know, the new wine is found in the cluster.
That's you so know? Good.
And this is modeling that. But in the Psalms, it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up his standard. And grammatically, we normally render that, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up his standard. That might be correct. But one time, I heard Derek Prince reposition that statement. And while I was, hearing who? I was hearing the way years ago that I heard Derek Prince challenge us in that psalm in a grammatical manner of it being, he believed, properly restructured. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard. But we emphasize it when the enemy comes in like a flood. And Derek challenged us that that is incorrect. It's when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard. I was sitting here hearing this rumble on my insides. And I was having another rumble of another word from another shared father in our lives of Bob Jones. I think I have actually maybe shared a prophecy to you from Bob, but I will rehearse it nonetheless again. As Marion just spoke, you are called to lead the way for the Holy Ghost Woodstocks in this nation. It is time, it is time, it is time. It is time not just for Jesus' festivals to be reignited, but it is time for the Holy Ghost Woodstocks to take place. If you build it, they will come. And you have been given an anointing to blow a trumpet for a camp, for campaigns, for Holy Ghost Woodstocks. And if you will blow the trumpet, they will come. Because when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. And the Lord was saying to me right here today, and we all know it, you are one of the standard bearers that a mark has been placed upon in the time of Sukkot. This is the beginning. This is that. The beginning of the great harvest. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shabbat.
Amen.
So like turning a prism. As a Renaissance man, you turn the prism and you can see different angles. So so turning the prism toward your care for the sons. There's a federal judge, retired federal judge in town who had an angel appear to him. I went and interviewed him. And the angel appeared in his study. It was real brief. And the angel stood before him and said, "Where are the fathers? There are no fathers because they never learned how to be sons." And he disappeared. You have ministered to the sons. So there's a part of you that's so tender. And the Lord is saying, keep it simple as you do all these things. There's a simplicity to this. The next generation will hear your fatherly love for them as you see them as sons and as you remember that you're a son. And that's so simple. But if you get beyond that too far, you'll lose your way. So there's a tenderness in your heart toward the next generation that everybody sees. So I'm just looking at one side of the prism here. And so as you do all these things, just keep that tenderness alive. People respond to the tenderness of your heart. You know that. Some of the most powerful moments this morning have been when you showed the tenderness of your heart. So I'm not talking about emoting. I'm just talking about keep that place of tenderness, because God's called you to raise up many, many, many sons, as you know. But keep it simple. Okay?
That's good. Yep. Thank you.
Lord, I thank you for Scott. I thank you that he is a point in this city, in the port of the spear. And so, Lord, I just say, I know why you gave this amazing message to this man of God. It's because you trust him. Scott, he trusts you. And because he trusts you, we trust you. And we say we're going to walk with you as part of the City of Light that will change the face of this city, this region, and this nation. And if you all agree, let's say amen really loud.